The Crude Life with host Jason Spiess.
All right, we're going to continue our ongoing story of evolution hybrid or EVolution hybrid, the capital E, the capital V. It's an evolution happening out in western North Dakota at Train ND Northwest, where they're taking in traditional combustion engine, that comes in a semi, and they're going to hybrid it with a electric vehicle engine. So we've got Kenley Nebaker, the executive director for Train ND Northwest, as well as Levi Perkins, president of Perkins Electric Innovations, joining us here today. Last interview, we kind of gave an overview of the project, and today I kind of want to get to some specifics, maybe the 5,000-foot view, maybe 3,000-foot view a little bit, maybe some weight on some things. Let's get into it so people can whet their appetite a little bit more about what exactly this project is happening, this evolution hybrid. Kenley, let's go ahead and start with you. Kind of give an overview, set the table a little bit, context, what this project is, and kind of how this came about. Maybe, 4 or 5 floors on the elevator pitch.
Yeah. First of all, thanks for having us on there, Jason, but continuing this story. We're excited about this project and where it can go. Really, the idea kind of started as part of our EDA grant that we put in for there was an electric vehicle component to that, and as we looked at the different electric vehicles that are in the semi range, so the Class 8 semi, what we saw was really a lack of options, a lack of possibility, a lack of production, really, and so we. As we dug into it a little bit deeper, and a huge thanks to Levi for kind of opening my eyes to the possibilities, that we saw that there's, you know, we'd like to show that there's the possibility of a better way out there, of a marriage between the narrative that everything needs to go full electric versus the fight that everything needs to stay fully fossil fuel driven. We see the opportunity for there to be both, kind of a marriage of both, and take advantage of both worlds. So we're excited to kind of see where that takes us and go from there.
Levi, let's take the conversation, put it in your direction a little bit. Your company has been selected as the company in order to make this possible. Let's talk about some different ways that this can be possible. One of the first things that comes to mind is the weight. A lot of the electric cars, they're finding out the batteries weigh a lot more than your traditional gas engine car. So when we talk about the weight on something like this, how is that explained to the average person? How do you go about tackling something like that? And first of all, how are you doing today?
Doing great. Excuse me. Thank you, Jason. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to get to discuss some of the possibilities with our project and just the future, I think, of transportation in general with you and Kenley today. Just looking at the, one thing that I thought would be, I think, really interesting to kind of discuss is the, right now there's, I think in the recently, so Jason, just some of my background, I grew up in Southern Idaho and had a lot of background in like the fab industry, like the metal fab industry and farming in general. I grew up on a farm and studied some in welding engineering, but then eventually studied like diesel technology and being a technician on the bigger Class 5 through Class 8 trucks, heavy duty trucks. And one thing that I was really aware of was just the evolution of the drivetrain on the trucks, both with the axles and the engines, but also so much more with the with just trying to a reduction in fuel consumption and aerodynamics. And it's a really rapidly changing industry right now. And I don't know, there's just so many things to discuss in regards to where the industry's going and even with some of the things currently that are happening with fuel crisis and things like that. So I don't know what direction you want me to go, Jason, but you just point me in a direction. And
well, let's start with the weight. That's one of the things that people bring up right away. I mentioned the weight of the battery and just, you know, weight of semis and the roads and all kinds of there's a hundred different ways. But yeah, let's start with the weight, because that seems to be, whether you're in Congress or whether you're at the home, that comes up quite a bit.
Okay. So just some numbers that we could think about. Most Class 8 trucks, and there's a lot of different varying models between all of the manufacturers, but there's a lot that's similar. And the less that a truck can weigh, the more freight you can haul, and essentially the higher income and revenues that you can have per year per truck. So for fleets, the lighter the truck, the better in most regards. So most Class 8 trucks that are, you know, your conventional trucks, some of them will have sleeper cabs, some will have double sleeper cabs on them, and a lot of other accessories, several other accessories like auxiliary power units on them and drop steer axles, and some will run larger 24.5 tires versus 22.5 tires, and there's quite a bit of difference in weight even there, but most of them are going to be in the 18,000 to 25,000 pound range. And that would be, so up, we climb up towards 25,000. They can be more than that. Some wrecker trucks that are, you know, your Class 8 wreckers, they could be 35,000 or 40,000 pounds by themselves with the wrecker body, but they're different. So if we're talking about a tractor that's designed to hook onto a trailer and that has double or the tandem drive axles, probably going to be in the 18 to 25,000 pound range full of fuel. You know, they could have between 150 to 300 gallons of fuel, sometimes more, sometimes a little bit less, but somewhere in there. Now on the battery side of it, if we had an electric vehicle, that most of the electric trucks right now, Jason and Kenley, they're going to be in the 400 to 600 kilowatt hour range. So recently Tesla released that they have their long range truck, Class 8 truck, will have a 1000 kilowatt hour range, or one megawatt hour. So it's 1000 kilowatt hour pack. And interestingly enough, even in the last 3 years, the battery technology has allowed us to have reductions in weight there. But they will still most likely have over 10,000 pounds of batteries. So it's quite a bit higher than fuel. And there's less energy density in batteries than fuel. So there's kind of a downfall there. But there's so many other really neat aspects of it. But yes, the weight is kind of a concern, especially even with EV vehicles. You know, most electric vehicle cars are, they could be in the 40 to 100 kilowatt hour range. And the battery packs take up a pretty substantial amount of weight on a 4,000 pound car.
You mentioned the gas, and of course, my mind went right away to liquid natural gas. Is liquid natural gas, is that heavier for a vehicle? Is that lighter? Is that an option? I know there's been some push in terms of whether it be Cummins or Swift Transportation to get more natural gas involved. Of course, the railway's got natural gas investments, as well as a lot of fleet vehicles from buses, et cetera. Is there any sort of natural gas tie-in or liquid natural gas tie-in with this, or does that not work for this hybrid?
Jason, I like the idea, but I think it's a great idea. You know, right now, and I don't know, we probably could leave this for a different session, but I honestly believe it'd be wise to utilize some. So the Evolution hybrid that we're working on right now, it's a Class 8 truck. We want to have somewhere over 300 mile range. We're shooting for at least 400 miles on all electric, pulling 80,000 pounds with close to 1,000 mile range or more with our smaller range extension device. And the range extender would be running a DC generator. So I think that when we look at that aspect of it, the range extender device actually could be It could be a lot of different things. It could be an internal combustion engine that runs on diesel, because diesel has a great infrastructure. But right now we're walking into a period where we could have a diesel shortage. So I think it'd be wise to have some type of range extension device that could run on multiple fuels. So compressed natural gas or liquid propane gas, kerosene, diesel. And there's drivetrains or prime movers, so to speak, that could run the generator as a range extension device that could run on multiple fuels, like turbine engines. They're a lot less efficient, but they actually don't produce, they're very clean on the environment in that regard. They don't require any after treatment devices, but they're hard on fuel consumption. But just to give you an idea, I think compressed natural gas is a little over five pounds per gallon, and diesel would be around 8 pounds per gallon. So yes, it'd be lighter. And it's a great alternative. There's a really good network for compressed natural gas and liquid natural gas, and it's viable. They're around 5 to 6 pounds a gallon, so they weigh less. So yeah, you could reduce weight in that regard for sure. And especially if you're running something like a turbine, they're not as fuel efficient, and I think that they would definitely use more fuel than a diesel engine. But right now we're shooting to use just a smaller diesel engine that's very fuel efficient, like somewhere around the 3 gallon per hour range, not like 12 gallons per hour, like a 14 liter semi-truck engine would have, or class 8 truck engine would consume.
Levi Perkins is on the line with us, Perkins Electric Innovations, as well as Kenley Nebaker from Train ND Northwest. And folks, I know we're talking about some very small units of weight, but just to give you an example, when the aviation industry went from the little black box of regulations that they would carry on every single flight to the iPad, it took a number of years for them to do it, but every single flight, every pilot had to carry about a 50-pound box. It was this hard kind of metal fireproof box of regulations that you're required to have on every single flight. And eventually when we got to the iPad generation, what they found was a small, significant fortune in savings because of the gas savings, because that 50-pound weight was noticeable at the end of the year. That's where the analytics come in. You know, nickels make dollars over time. Kenley, I wanted to talk to you about the supply chain and some of the hurdles that you foresee there, because that's where the nickels can become dollars, pro or con. We're talking about the weight being one of the hurdles to jump over. One of your hurdles, I imagine, is that supply chain. You've got, you know, you mentioned a grant, so you've got masters that need deadlines and milestones. Going into this project, what do you foresee being your biggest hurdle? Is it the supply chain or is it something else?
Yeah, I do see the supply chain being the biggest hurdle. You know, Levi is doing a great job of keeping me updated on where the supply chain is for these components that we're needing. And it's looking, we're going to cross our fingers and knock on some wood here, but it's looking like things might line up in our favor a little bit. But definitely, if we're talking about the largest challenge or the biggest concern that we have as far as getting it done on time and in the time that we want to do it, that the supply chain is a major issue. I want to add to your thought on the nickels make dollars standpoint. You know, when Levi mentioned that these Class 8 electric vehicles are adding an extra 10,000 pounds in batteries, maybe that doesn't seem like that much, but I mean, if you're carrying 80,000 pounds on your rig, and you're pulling off 10,000 of that, down to 70,000 pounds, when you think about over a year, how much less cargo that allows you to carry, which equates to how much money you're able to make. I think that's a very important thing for us to be able to think about. And Levi's done some interesting calculations there that he could get into real details with. But you know, thinking about that perspective that you just explained so well from the black box to iPad, analogy, I think that on a much larger scale, we're talking about some significant losses due to, if we're just going to rely on battery only, it really does affect your ability to make money at the end.
It's absolutely incredible with trucking, with the logistics. I mean, because 3 pounds per truck over the course of a year makes a significant impact. You know, you might not notice it every single week or every day, but that's where those nickels do make dollars. You know, the pebbles, I guess, you know, a pebble every day finally turns into a mound of sand and that sort of thing. I think I just made that up. That one wasn't a real cliche, but
right. But
as long as we followed it, it works just fine. Levi, let's talk a little bit about some of the other places that you foresee. Maybe it might be some environmental savings. Maybe it might be, the freight type savings. Because like I said, any trucking company that can get an extra 10 to 100 pounds of shipping, boy, that's money, man.
Hey, that's right, Jace. So another aspect to it, just real quick, that I'd mention, we could have somewhere between 8 to 10,000 pounds worth of batteries to have a 600 kilowatt hour pack. But the thing to remember is we don't have a 4,500 pound engine in the front of the truck. So we lost that. And then now we have a motor and transmission that weighs similar to the 10 or 13 or 18 speed modern transmissions in the trucks. And we don't have a cooling package like we had before, a really large radiator with usually somewhere between 10 to 15 gallons of water in them or coolant. And then we don't have any of the fluids. So fully dressed, the engines are over 5,000 pounds with all their components and exhaust components. So we lost that. And then we lost several of the other accessories that would go on those. So we're trying to get it as close as we can. And then we've got some other weight reduction savings in place that would really help the truck to get closer to our goal, to where, you know, there's such a wide range. It could be 18 to 25,000 pounds. Some of these Class 8 trucks even weigh less than 18,000, but they're a day cab and they don't have, you know, they've not got a lot of things on it like the extra toolboxes or fairing or anything like that. So I think that we'll be really close, even with our current drivetrain on weight. We'll be very similar. And then as far as efficiency, if you want me to go down that road just a second, Jason, I think that there's some really huge cost reduction in running an electric hybrid and still getting in 8 to 12 hours of driving per day, over 600 mile range. You know, that's the biggest problem with a lot of the manufacturers right now. I just can't see a lot of these trucks that are on the market. You know, there's 4 or 5 large ones that have emerged. They're not really a Class 8 over-the-road truck. They're a local truck. I just don't see them driving more than 500 miles a day, or they're going to be lucky to do 300 miles a day. And a lot of the tests that I've read, even the big, large 1,000 kilowatt-hour pack that Tesla has, pulling a load in very hilly terrain and varying altitudes, they'll have low range. I think that it will be less than 500 miles. And so you'll have range anxiety as a driver and as a fleet operator. So I don't know if you want to go down that road right now, but I've got some really good numbers to talk about as far as fuel consumption and price per mile that anybody could understand.
Yeah, let's talk the turkey, man. That's what people want to know. You know, the savings, the numbers, and even some of those other, I equate it to time. You know, time is money. And so whether you're waiting in line to fill up or getting your vehicle serviced, or there's a lot of different ways that the trucking industry can save some time and money. So let's get into some numbers. You bet.
So the first one that I just paint kind of a scenario for you and the rest of the viewers and listeners, that if we had a typical day, a very short mile run, not a long run. So these would be even more dramatic with the long run. But let's say that we had a Class 8 truck that we hook onto a trailer in the morning. There's a limited amount of idle time and warm up. And then we hook onto our load or our freight, and we're to drive 150 miles one direction, and then we'd come 150 miles back to a base, or say we stay there. We're just going to say that we drove 300 miles in one day. And I think these numbers could be, they're simplified, but they're really accurate. Most Class 8 trucks at this point will, there, some of the older ones are only getting 3.5 miles per gallon if we include idle time and warm-up time in the winter. And we need to understand that winterized fuel has a lot less heat energy in it than number two, straight number two fuel, because it'd be a blend of number one and number two. So we, our miles per gallon goes down in the winter because we have more idle time and we have less heat energy per gallon. So a lot of times in the winter, we could be as low as 3.5. We could actually be as high as in the 7, 7.1, 7.2, pulling 80,000 pounds. That would be the more modern engines that have common rail injection, and they're, you know, obviously electronic injection, but they've got a lot of fairing on the trucks, and aerodynamics plays a big key, and we can talk about that in a second too. But so 300 mile range, let's just say that the truck, the average right now for the nation is about 5.2 or 5.3, but we'll just say 5 miles per gallon. Right now it's interesting, and I know this isn't completely accurate, but it's close. It will be more as the year goes on, but we're, so a few days ago on business, I was in Nevada. Fuel was $6.50 a gallon. And here in Idaho for diesel, it's a little over $5 per gallon. So I don't know what it is there in Williston. It'd be interesting to have Kenley's input really quick.
What's the gas at in Williston, Kenley?
Right now we're sitting at $5.36 a gallon.
Okay. So there's probably
just
no...
Just filled up this morning.
Yeah, there's probably some places in the nation that it's less than $5 per gallon. But let's just say it's $5 per gallon. And this will be simple math. If it's $5 per gallon and we're getting 5 miles per gallon, so each mile is going to cost us a dollar in fuel to pull 80,000 pounds down the road. So we may have 60,000 pounds. We'll actually have less than that. We would probably have about 50,000 pounds worth of freight or less. So it's a dollar per gallon, and there's a lot of other operating expenses that go into this. Most truck drivers will not, a lot of them won't pull a load or deliver freight for less than $3 per mile, but that's inconsequential right now. Let's just talk about, so it's a buck a gallon. If we drove 300 miles in one day, we're going to spend $300 in fuel. And if there was any idle time or any kind of other docking time where the engine was running, we would spend more. But it would be $300 for that day to go 300 miles. So in a year, you can see that if you drove if a person was going to travel 100,000 miles, which is typical if you got team drivers, and over 120,000 sometimes, you could easily spend $100,000 in fuel in 1 year on one truck, not some of these fleets that literally have thousands of trucks and trailers. So fuel is a big deal. When fuel jumps 10 cents, it's a big deal. If you can put fairing on a truck or, you know, fender skirts or different types of hub covers on the trailer or on the truck that would give you better aerodynamics and save you 1/10 of 1 mile per gallon, it's a lot of money at the end of the year. So on the electric truck, we can go this direction for a second. So we know it's a buck a mile to drive a Class 8 loaded or more, maybe a little bit less, but it's going to be really similar to that in fuel cost. If we have an all-electric truck that would just be a plug-in electric truck, we'll just say that we have a 600 kilowatt battery pack on it. And with 600 kilowatts, what I've seen in most of these, if they have a low rolling resistance tire on them, and they're geared correctly, and they've got the aerodynamics where a lot of the wind is directed up and over the top of an enclosed trailer, and they're not pulling a flatbed, most of the electric Class 8 trucks will get about they will consume about 2 kilowatt hours of energy per mile. So what it does is a 600 kilowatt pack gives us about a 300 mile range, depending on conditions, depending on some temperature variances with the batteries and some other things that would come into play, but small. So we would use 600 kilowatt hours of electricity in 300 miles. Well, this is where it gets really interesting, Jason Kinley, that right now, and I'm just going to use Idaho as a and the cost of energy in Idaho is probably low, but we have an energy provider here in Southern Idaho. Per kilowatt hour, they're between 8 cents and 12 cents per kilowatt hour. So let's just cut it right in the middle and say it's 10 cents per kilowatt hour. So if we were going to use 600 kilowatt hours, it's about $60 to drive to travel the same distance that costs us $300.
So that's a substantial savings at the end of the day.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a really big deal. Now you start to see why individuals they're pushing for all electric. And Jason, the truth is, and this is just my honest feelings, we don't have infrastructure to do that. Definitely not on the Class 8. So I don't even think we have it on the residential side. If you were to purchase an all electric plug-in electric vehicle, and Kinley did and I did, every one of your neighbors did, you'd have blackouts. The truth is there's too much energy consumption. In 1 month, Jason, I would bet, I don't know how many people are in your household or in Kinley's, in 1 month, the average household uses less than 1,000 kilowatt hours of electricity in a month. That's everything, like your water heater, your oven, your heat pump, any kind of the microwave in a whole month. I'm talking 30 days. So we're using 600 kilowatt hours. We're using almost that much in 1 day in a Class 8. So the consumption of energy is huge. That it would definitely, and I know this sounds cliche, it would overload the grid. There's just absolutely no way around it. But if we built the infrastructure for it, it'd be wise. I guess
I see just the natural fit of take, you know, I like to give the example of the Amazon Fulfillment Center. And
yes.
If you've ever driven by an Amazon Fulfillment Center, it is like three shopping malls next to each other. They're gigantic. And the one out in Oklahoma absolutely cracks me up, south of Oklahoma City, because it's just outside of Moore, Oklahoma, in the middle of really nowhere. And then across the highway, across the interstate, and literally in the middle of nowhere, is a Buffalo Wild Wings. Like, you can see the tumbleweeds go across, right? But it doesn't matter, because that Amazon Fulfillment Center keeps that Buffalo Wild Wings busy all the time. And I thought to myself, man, if I was a mobile oil change guy, I bet I could just make all kinds of money with these guys waiting, because the things truckers do is wait. They're always waiting. They're always waiting, waiting, waiting. I see where if we could integrate the grid into these fulfillment centers, these distribution centers, these water exchange stations where they're waiting already, you're going to kill two birds with one stone. Is any of that being discussed at all? Because what you're talking about is a very high-level discussion that a lot of politicians don't even want to have, which is, we can't even have Teslas right now. Our grid is not ready for it. We have to redo the entire grid system. But the good news is, if we do the logistics of trucking and transportation, that's going to lead the way. So I know we can talk about this till we're blue in the face, but Kenley or Levi, if you want to go either direction on that, your thoughts on integration of the charging stations into these distribution systems, or what is the solution to the grid issue that we have?
Well, I'll let Levi handle this part of the discussion, but I did want to just say I just looked up the average cost per kilowatt hour for the United States, and back in August, we were at 16.7 cents on average for the United States. So Idaho's getting a hell of a deal down there.
Yeah, it might be a little bit different. I see what you're saying, Kinley. So even if we added another third onto that, we're still at $90 to travel 300 miles, what would have normally cost us $300 or more, a little bit less. But what it boils down to is it's between one-fifth of the cost to one-third of the cost of a conventional Class 8 with between a 12-liter and 14-liter diesel-powered engine and to run something like this. Now, the other aspect of it, and I really think this is good. So right now we don't have the grid for it, but think about this for a second. If we were to take a smaller diesel engine that does not consume 12 gallons per hour, but consumes somewhere in the range of 3 to 5 gallons per hour, it cannot power the truck in 80,000 pounds. It could, but you'd be moving really slow. So time would be a factor. But if we could store up energy in batteries, and as we're going down the road, we could allow a smaller 3-liter engine or around that size to, running a DC generator to produce the power to push back into the batteries, what would happen then is our 600 kilowatt hour pack, instead of having a 300 mile range, would have somewhere around a 600 mile range. And if you had a bigger pack, you'd have even more. And now if you're only legally able to drive somewhere between, you know, your 10 to 13 hours per day, that something that's regulated by the Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Alliance, if you could travel that in a day and know that you would not have range anxiety and you'd get to your destination, and then during your bunk time, the small engine would run and charge your batteries to 80% in 2 hours or to 100% in somewhere between 6 to 8 hours. Now we're talking, now we would spend more money and fuel on our range extension device, but say we only spent $200 instead of $300. Well, it's a 1/3 reduction. It would be very similar to a semi truck getting over 12 miles to the gallon, 10 to 12 miles to the gallon. You know, it'd be similar to paying $2 a gallon in fuel all day long with a 5 mile per gallon semi truck. So even if fuel's $5 a gallon, because you're running such a smaller prime mover to operate the generator, you would use less fuel. Your price per mile would still be reduced to most likely less. So the numbers, the actual numbers is, if you were 3 gallons an hour running a 50 kilowatt generator, you would be down in the $150 to travel 300 miles, but per mile, you would not be $1 per mile. You would be somewhere in the 50 cents per mile or less. So it would be half the cost. And you would most likely never plug into the grid, Jason and Kinley. You would just fuel up. You would continue to use fossil fuels, whether it be diesel or compressed natural gas. You know, there's different companies that are looking at several different designs of engines that would use hydrogen as a fuel source. So I think that's where it's at. There's some huge benefits. We've never really done that before. And if we have, it's been on such a small scale. It wasn't widely accepted, and it just didn't take. The timing may not have been right.
I think one thing to add here, Jason, to kind of get back into what you were saying as far as the integration thing. So what Levi's really hitting well on with this Evolution Hybrid project is that there's really no need for that infrastructure change, right? That we're ultimately eliminating the need for that, or giving us time to get that done at least. And so when a driver is having to naturally sleep or rest or whatever they need to do, the hybrid is recharging those batteries and getting themselves ready to go. The other interesting aspect about our project is there's still the option to plug in if we ever needed to, right? And so if let's say that we're parked in a place that can handle that infrastructure, then it has that capability, and we can move forward in that way. Levi's numbers are just so impressive to me. So you think if I were to go to a company that has 100 trucks running on the road and said, I can cut your cost per mile in half, with a vehicle that costs us almost the exact same amount of money as what you're paying for your diesel vehicle right now, I would like to think that they would jump on that.
They're going to think you're crazy. They're going to escort you out and put you in the loony bin because it's too much savings. They're going to be like, are you kidding me? So but that's the direction we're going. And that's why I wanted to give that airline example, because this is, there's a precedent for this. This has happened in other industries. So once you start making these changes, as companies are going to see the savings become exponential. It becomes very, that's really what it becomes over the long haul. It becomes a big savings. So as we wrap up, just kind of closing here, I'm taking a look at the clock and just a couple minutes left here, guys.
Yeah, Levi, what else you got numbers-wise? I mean, you've shared so many impressive numbers with me. I'd love for the listeners to hear everything you got.
Yeah, I would just say that I think that we can cut it down to it's if we were all plug-in, it's fifth of the cost of Class 8 right now at $5 a gallon. You know, the lower the price per gallon of fuel, the lower the cost savings you'd have. But in order to have a Class 8 on all fuel, reach energy density cost of an electric Class 8, it would have to be a dollar per gallon diesel fuel to have the same cost per mile.
Really?
There it is. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's the big push right there. And yeah, and I think maybe even next time too, Jason, not to try to cut in or say something about what we could speak about next time, I really want to talk about the fact that almost all the electric vehicles, and especially Class 8 trucks that they're pushing right now, most of them, if not all of them, they're not conventional. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to push a whole new concept of energy, like having us have an electric truck, lots of range anxiety from owner operators and fleet operators, but then also they're unconventional. You know, the Tesla truck at one point in time wanted us to sit in the middle of the cab. I mean, there's parts of it that they were so much different than a conventional Class 8 truck. And I'm not saying that we don't need to have change. There was just too much change at once to where I just don't think it'll be widely accepted immediately. And it could be better, it could be worse, but they've really tried to reinvent the wheel, even the axles. We've had this same type of axles on Class 8 trucks for over 50 years. Well, then all of a sudden they're like, we don't want to have that anymore. We'll have a transmission integrated into wheel ends. And
that's a great place to pause right there. Mr. Levi Perkins of Perkins Electric Innovations. We have more to talk about next time as we continue the conversation tracking Evolution Hybrid, a project happening with Train ND Northwest. Earlier, you heard from Kenley Nebaker, as well as Levi Perkins with Perkins Electric Innovations. Evolution Hybrid, taking a gas combustion engine, making it hybrid with a electric engine to bring us a brand new semi, the old traditional get on a great big convoy semi truck into a whole new world of transportation, logistics, environmental innovations, and industrial integrity. Folks, that's going to do it for today's interview with Kenley Nebaker, Train ND Northwest, Levi Perkins, Perkins Electric Innovations, about Evolution Hybrid. For more exclusive interviews and to track more of Project Hybrid, the story, check out thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com.
Interested in becoming a sponsor? Email studio@thecrudelife.com.